listeners, I'm back, and I'm joined as always by the lovable duo Russ and Kent. Hi guys, how you doing?
Well, I'm doing all right. It's glad to see you back, Carrie. Kent and I doing this by ourselves take way too long, and we don't know when to shut up, basically. So it's good to have you back, keeping us on track.
Well, thanks for the welcome back, Kent. How about you? How are you doing?
I'm super. Thanks for asking. Really happy to be here today.
All right.
Really happy.
All right. So just because everybody remembers, Kent, a couple of weeks ago, several weeks ago now, had mentioned that he thought Paige and Alberto Del Rio by July 31st would be broken up. I bet him, and he lost. They're still together as far as we know. Both are still alive, so he can't take any credit. And now it's past July 31st, and we're coming in to collect the debt for the bet. The bet was that Kent had to be positive for an entire podcast. No negativity allowed on WWE. And Carrie, I can't say this came at a better week than this week, Carrie. What do you think?
Oh, I know. There's so many positive things for him to talk about. So many great things happened this week.
I know. I'll be honest with you. At first, I thought this was going to be way too easy for Kent. Raw came off smashingly. I thought, okay, we can find positivity in almost everything that happened on Raw. It wasn't terrible. But then SmackDown happened. Man, was that great. We need the positivity of Kent to tell us how great it was.
Oh, I mean, SmackDown was awesome. I'm so glad I watched it. All right.
So we can't hear any negativity out of Kent.
Exactly. All right, listeners, just to give you a kind of a overview of who we are.
Hey, man, if you hold on, sorry, if you could see Kent's face.
Oh, I'm...
I know you can, but the listener...
Oh, yes, I can. So, listeners...
I'm happy, guys. Happy.
Sure you are, Kent. Anywho, so if you're new to the podcast, we recap and discuss the week in wrestling. And have a few fun games that we like to share with you as well. So this week, I think, guys, we should talk about SummerSlam. Let's preview it and discuss the two build shows this week, the go-home shows of Raw and SmackDown. But before we do that, Kent, we need a moment of bliss from you.
Should be easy.
Oh, the moment of bliss. I mean, just waking up today knowing that I had to do this podcast with a smile on my face was all the bliss that I needed. But I'll go so far as to say that last week was Miss Bliss's birthday, so WWE kindly put up a nice gallery of her, 30 pictures and all. And yeah, I also have some pizza to look forward to, so I'm very happy about that. And there was something that happened on Sunday that I know we're going to talk about, and that was truly probably my, like, blissful moment of the fucking year, so... Oh, and one other thing to be happy about, because I can't be negative about WWE, but TNA stripped out Del Rio of the title.
Yes. All right.
That lasted less than his relationship with Paige.
You should have bet on being stripped of the title, not the relationship.
Yes, I should have, but it's a real good thing that I did it, Ross. Real good.
Oh, absolutely. And when we get to it, should we just break right into it, Carrie? I mean, what? This one's huge for him.
Oh, you mean last night's cash-in?
Yeah.
All right.
Let's start right with it.
I wasn't going to talk about SmackDown until later in the podcast, but let's just go ahead and discuss it. And
I think this is too big. Kent's got to be positive about this. I think it's just too big to hold off to the end of the show.
Well, let's turn everything on its head and let's do SmackDown first.
All right, let's do it.
All right, let's.
Kent, what do you think of that idea?
I think that is such a great idea. I have a lot of emotions that I want to share with the group.
Awesome.
All right, so
yeah, the positivity is just flowing.
Oh, I know. So, since we mentioned last night's cash-in, let's discuss Baron Corbin, John Cena, and the Jinder Mahal match on SmackDown, and then let's discuss John Cena versus Baron Corbin at SummerSlam. I'm going to let you guys go first, and then I'm going to say my thoughts in a new segment that I would like to unveil tonight. So, Russ, how about you go first?
All right. Well, I'm going to take this on big time, Cena Corbin. Oh, my God. Okay, well, first of all, the Cena gender match actually wasn't that bad. I thought they did pretty well. I thought gender did okay, and Cena's a guy who can make you look good. And Cena did his job. Gender did pretty good. It wasn't the best match in the world. This is what I have a problem with, and I was really angry about this. Corbin came down, right? Okay, fine. Thought that was going to start up the pay-per-view SummerSlam stuff. But then he did the stupidest possible thing he could do and cash in on Jinder Mahal. Now, okay, Jinder was passed out in the corner. That makes sense. But this is, stop me if I'm wrong. Am I stupid? Because Cena, who was walking around outside still, no problems, he was going to cash in. That doesn't make any sense. Cena's out there. You know he can interfere. Why would you cash in when there's another person out there that can stop you? That was stupid. That is the dumbest thing. And I think it's a complete waste of the cash money in the bank. It's completely and utterly a waste. It was used, I think, personally, I think it was used to bring more drama into the match. Nobody had any, like, why are they wrestling? Who cares? This was the reason, though. They made that connection. And it was stupid. There's only one positive thing I'll take out of this. So we'll talk about that later when we get to the predictions for the match.
All right. Kent, what were your thoughts on Jinder Mahal versus John Cena, the cash-in?
What a handsome question that is. And I mean, that was a historic match of epic proportions. My God, did you see that test of strength to start off the match? It was almost as if Jinder was stronger than John Cena. And I thought, oh my God, we are on to something beautiful and wonderful. And we were. The trip that they took us, the roller coaster of emotions, the moves, the man sweat. And then, this was the cherry, or so I thought, but no, we got some nuts and cream and all that stuff involved too. Not like that, we're talking about Sundays. Baron Corbin comes out, and he's like, what would I prefer, to have a world championship match for free at SummerSlam, or would I rather just throw it away because I'm a vindictive asshole? And he's like, you know what, I like the second option, I don't need a world title match. I don't even know I have this briefcase, so I'm going to interfere. And good for him. You know, he interfered. And I thought, what a fucking brilliant idea. Throw away a free championship title just to prove an ounce of dominance over the franchise. And then, WWE never ceases to really surprise us. They do such an amazing job. And I gotta say that I saw on my Facebook, I'd gotten a message. I saw that I got an email from Steve. He never emails me. So I knew we were in for a really big treat. And I was like, oh my God, Baron, he's going to cash it in. This makes all the sense in the world. Because John Cena's right there on the ring apron. He has no vendetta with Baron at this point, clearly. So Baron's in the clear. He's going to win the championship. And then Creative did the smartest thing ever. They made Baron waste the money in the bank. Like, it was meaningless. It was so fucking smart. I mean, why? You know, there's no sense in holding on to a belt and maybe cashing in for a big moment. No. No, no, no. We need history-making matches. We need history moments. We need first-time evers. And damn it, that was fucking brilliant. So now, I'm excited because now we get Jinder versus Shinsuke in a great match, and Baron's going to be fighting for nothing at SummerSlam other than some respect. You go, WWE creative team. My hat's off to you. You guys are brilliant.
Okay. Did anybody else think it was definitely going to be a cop-out at first? I mean, because when it took so long. So I thought for sure he's going down there. Just to interfere with Cena, sees Baron, goes like, okay, he'll go say he's going to cash it in, and then Cena's going to run in and jump him before the bell rings, therefore it stops the whole thing and doesn't really count as a cash in. Did anybody else think that too? Because it took so long.
You would hope, but this, it just seems so awful the way they did it, and it seems like such a waste.
Yeah, I thought for sure.
What are you talking about? Baron Corbett does not deserve a push, okay? He needs to earn it. He needs to get better in the ring, and he needs to work on his promos. He may need new music, and he needs to cut his hair, damn it. Until then, John Cena's the man, so he should not be getting over on Cena or Jinder Mahal.
Oh, man.
So, just saying, WWE did the right thing. Viva la WWE.
Well, with Corbin losing it, I do see a silver lining coming. It's not going to be a very good one, just so you know. But it's still a silver lining. He's going to beat Cena at SummerSlam. There's if he... Okay, first of all, Cena has a history of losing at SummerSlam. History. Big time. He loses almost all the time at SummerSlam. It's his one pay-per-view he loses at. So, Corbin could beat him. Everybody's going to go, oh, it's SummerSlam. He always loses at SummerSlam. So that's fine. That actually gives Cena a reason to lose. Corbin wins. That means Shinsuke's probably going to win. Shinsuke wins. Now he's got the title. Corbin goes back after Shinsuke because Cena's going over to Raw. So.
I'll buy it. I mean, that was something Eric and I discussed this morning when I told him about it. He's like, yeah, it sounds like what happened was they're setting it up for Shinsuke and Baron to feud over the belt after SummerSlam, which is fine, but it would have been nice to have the briefcase in play as well.
But, I mean, there was another way of doing it, and Kent can agree with me. I think Kent would see it's a better...
Oh, yeah, I definitely agree with everything you're saying right now. I'm happy.
But I would think the better way would have been to have Shinsuke win it at SummerSlam, and then Baron cash it in on him immediately. That would have been the better way to go. But what do I know?
I think that's what we all were thinking was going to happen. Shinsuke was going to be, you know, Jinder Mahal at SummerSlam. Baron would immediately cash in. I guess that got flipped on it. Obviously got flipped on its head last night. And we'll still probably see a cash in at SummerSlam. But we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
All right, just my two cents, which will lead me into my new segment. I thought the match was decent. I mean, I'm never impressed with a Jinder Mahal match, and even having John Cena in the ring with him didn't really impress me that much. With that being said, and as I said, my new segment is called Carrie's Deep Question of the Week. My deep question of the week is, after everything we've seen over the past year, and just historic need for John Cena not to put over young talent, do we feel, just with the talented roster that we have right now, is it time for Cena to retire? I think it is. I really do. I think he's done all he can. I think now he is detracting from the people, the full-timers, the people who are there week in and week out. He is a part-timer. I don't care what he says. You are a part-timer, John Cena. You can tell me you love this company and this business all you want. Until you're there for a full calendar, you're sweating right next to everybody else. You are a part-timer. Kent, what do you think?
I would not have the greatest wrestler of our generation retire. I think the man still has at least 5 good years left to offer this business in periodic roles. Nobody right now, nobody carries the weight that he can. Nobody has the pull that he has. Nobody is going to be capable of cementing somebody's legacy right now. Therein lies the problem, though, is that WWE smartly is investing everything humanly possible into Roman Reigns, and my God, they are getting tremendous reaction from, I mean, you hear those fans every week, and they are supporting that man. But eventually, they also need to put over somebody else, and realistically, there's nobody else. There's one rub left. There's one rub, and it's Brock Lesnar. We also can surmise that Brock Lesnar's probably giving that rub to Roman Reigns because that gentleman needs it. So Cena's the last man that can give a really, truly serious rub to one individual. I mean, look at how long Taker was a part-timer. Still, his feuds meant something. Losing to Taker still actually elevated you. So in that same breath, I say Cena is at a level of similar importance right now where even a feud with him can help elevate you if done properly. Which clearly this Baron Corbin one has been a fine example of how you elevate somebody. So I say keep him around for 5 more years.
Russ, how about you?
I'm going to kind of echo what Kent was saying. I agree. You don't get rid of John Cena. He's too big, too important. But what he's doing right now is he should be putting over the younger talents, or even not even just the younger talents, giving some of the mid-level talents some time in the ring to shine. They don't always have to win. Cena doesn't always have to lose. Like, look at Rusev. He's doing wonderful things now. I believe he's feuding with Randy, who Randy was just doing so well in his matches with Jinder. How do you do it, Ken? This is really hard being positive.
I haven't even drank yet.
But he is doing... If he is in there and he gives the rub to the guys... Like Baron Corbin, I'm telling you right now, if he lets Baron Corbin win, that's huge. Very big. It should automatically springboard Corbin into number one contendership. So, with or without the briefcase, he doesn't need it. He'll be there.
May I ask a question, though?
Sure.
Is it wise to have him put over another wrestler after he just put over Shinsuke? We don't want to enter a Jericho phase where Jericho is there and everybody knows he's there just the job. So
yeah, you've got
to
be.
You have to sparingly use his job.
You do. You do. You're right. But I think SummerSlam is that one spot. But you're right. You can't let him lose all the time. But he's also going to get that 17th championship run, and it's going to be a long one. So 5 more years, that seems accurate.
Fair enough. All right, guys, let's wrap up our discussion on this match and go with our SummerSlam picks. John Cena versus Baron Corbin, who do you have? I'll go with mine first, and then I'll hear yours. Given light of recent events, I'm going John Cena, despite what I just said. Kent, who you got?
Game of Thrones. I mean, when I watch it later on in the replay, I certainly have the franchise John Cena. Baron Corbin, you are a meaningless fool at this point. You need to earn your new song and a new haircut, sir.
And Russ?
All right, well, I guess I'm going to be the dark horse on this one. I'm going Baron Corbin. Too much of history is on this side. I'm waiting for the lull Cena wins. Hashtag lull Cena wins. I'm waiting for that. But I think Corbin's going to get the win here. I honestly do.
All right. So let's go ahead and move on to the next match on the card. Let's talk about the build for Rusev versus Randy Orton. This feud has been... built up decently well. I mean, I have been away for the past couple weeks, but based on what I've read and seen, it looks like it's pretty good. Rusev calling out Randy. Randy RKOing last night was kind of predictable, but it was interesting nonetheless.
How is it predictable? It was out of nowhere.
Please. And Kent, what were your thoughts?
I think I'll go, because Kent doesn't want to talk. He's so filled with positivity here. I'll go first. So,
right.
Do not care about this match. Don't care at all. Randy was garbage with Jinder. He was garbage when he took the belt from Bray. And he has not proven otherwise to be interesting since that time. So, I feel bad for Rusev. Randy's also coming off a huge losing streak. Randy needs that win back. Rusev is the bitch, I guess, is the best way I could put it. He takes the losses. Cena comes back. Rusev loses. He comes back. Oh, he also loses. Randy needs wins. Rusev needs a win. Guess who's going to get it before Rusev? That's right, Randy. Don't care.
Yeah, but in the case of Randy, he's been really phoning it in over the past few months. Does he really deserve a win?
No. But that's not how WWE thinks. They're going to be like, Randy Orton, he's great. We need to give him the win.
Kent, what do you think?
Uh-oh. Kent is still brimming with positivity over there. Oh, right. There he is.
I'm back. So, my thought is that I'm really happy that I have such a wonderful headset that is stopped twice. Already, things are going exceptionally well on this day of glee. Regarding the Rusev and Randy match, I, for one, am happy as hell because I like the minimalistic approach. Sometimes WWE may tad overdo things and overcomplicate things. You know, briefcases, I don't know, run-ins, throwing away your championship. Sometimes they just do really weird things, and I totally get it. Like, I am 100% on board. But it's nice when they take a step back and they're just like, Rusev just wants an opponent for SummerSlam for 1 week. Randy comes out. Then the next week, there's just a simple kick. Then the next week, a simple RKO. And that's been the whole build-up. And I'm okay with that. I don't need intrigue. I have intrigue in not knowing anything else that's happening. I don't know what these guys are going to look like in the ring together. I think Randy, if anybody out there, Randy's the one that's on a mission to get younger guys over right now. He's in full putting people over mode, which I'm very thankful for. I think Randy needs a win, though. That's the other problem. Randy has one win over the past, like, 3 months. Like, he jobbed to Aiden English. On the other hand, Rusev really could use a win as well. I say as long as it's a hard-fought battle and Rusev jobs, that's okay as long as Rusev picks up a win at another pay-per-view. I think Randy needs this one, especially if Randy wins, Cena loses, or vice versa. Both guys are not losing on the same night. I that's my one thing I'll say.
All right, so quick pick. Kent, who do you got?
I got Randy.
Russ.
Wait, no, I got Rusev, because I already predicted Cena.
Yeah.
Ah.
Gosh, darn it. I am doing well.
And Russ.
Positivity. Randy. Pick? Definitely Randy.
I'm going to go with Rusev. He needs a win. He hasn't had one since he came back.
Yeah, and continued to not have one after SummerSlam, too, so.
But did you see how he threw Chad Gable?
That was magical.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the SmackDown Tag Team title match. Let's talk, you know, about the events of SmackDown and also the match from last night. And let's discuss SummerSlam, what we think's going to happen. Kent, let's start with you.
I think it is brilliant. Absolutely genius. To have New Day versus the Usos on Tuesday. And then have New Day versus the Usos on Sunday. That way, we know what to expect going into Sunday. There's no surprises. We just know that they're changing one guy out for another guy. But we know we're going to get the same match. And I'm excited because they have really good chemistry. So kudos to WWE for giving us a pay-per-view match 5 days before they're supposed to have their pay-per-view match. That is... When I think of marketing geniuses, that is fucking amazingly brilliant stuff. I'm looking forward to this being the match of the night, potentially, given time. And also, a heel turn.
Now, just real quick, Kent, they seem to do this marketing geniuses, they seem to really run that this week, didn't they? How many matches of SummerSlam were this week already done?
Three?
If not four? I thought there was four, but okay.
Well, there was the Usos, and then there was two on Raw at the very
least. That's
true.
I thought one more, though.
Plus, I may be forgetting one. I mean, I am a Usos after all.
Oh, no. Big Show Cass, I was thinking. They didn't really have a match. That was just stupidity. We'll talk about that later.
Stupidity? No, Russ. They were just motivating us.
Yes. I guess I'll go.
Yeah, go ahead. Give me your thoughts.
Okay. Well, the match was okay. Nothing special about it. Because I'll be honest with you, I almost completely forgot it even happened. But they have good chemistry. Kent's right. The match could be match of the night, except it's not going to be because I heard now it's going to be on the kickoff show. Yep.
Which is smart.
Yes, because...
Because anytime you can put a match of the night candidate on your kickoff show, that's how you entice people who are already paying for the network to subscribe to the network.
Yes! Oh my.
That's how this works,
Russ. Right. Yes. Thank you, Ken. So...
Marketing genius.
Yes, that is it. So... yeah. Since it's on the kickoff... If it's going to be on the kickoff show, they're not going to get enough time. Or they will get enough time, but they're not going to be able to shine. Or if they do shine, nobody's going to see it. So...
There's also going to be a commercial break.
There'll be a commercial break during the match, which will kill.
Marketing geniuses, yes. Russ.
Exactly. People are invested in the match. They're not going to turn away. It's pretty smart. Doesn't kill the mood of the match at all. I mean, you're like it never left.
That is a way of looking at it. Yes. Correct.
So anyway, yeah, it should be a good match since the last one was such a great match, but... It's not going to get enough. It's going to suck, probably. Sorry.
Yeah, I think the build is going to be... The build was and is probably going to be better than the match. With that said, quick picks. Let's go around the horn. Russ, who you got?
Seems silly for the Usos to win it, so I'm going to stick with New Day.
Kent.
Usos win it after Xavier turns on Big E.
I have New Day.
I want yours to happen. Big E, yeah.
Big E.
He's one of my boys.
Yeah. I mean, he's on to good things when Xavier turns on him, because then he's going to have to put him over. But that's okay. Putting people over plays a positive role in the world of WWE.
But that gets Big E into his single role, which I really desperately need him to do. We should...
He's already in a singlet, Russ.
That's why I need him in a single role in his singlet. Man, we should do a recap on our guys in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, because we all remember them so well. I'm sure
we have it somewhere. It's written down.
Yeah.
Some website that may hold it in an archive of sorts.
Oh, yes. That is...
what is that website called?
Nindeuce.com/wrestling?
I do believe, yes, that is the place.
Yes, and also, not only is our list of who are the wrestlers we're throwing our support behind are, you can also find our blog there as well. And with that said, let's move on to the women's title match, Natalya versus Naomi. My only thoughts on this match, this feud, the build is, I completely forgot Natalya even had a title shot. How about you guys? Russ, how about you?
Well, I didn't forget because I was still shocked that she got it in the first place. But they've done... Yes, that exactly. But they've done 0-0 with Naomi. They are wasting her God-given face talent. She is clearly a great face. And they, instead of giving us good heels to bring up against her, they are doing nothing. And I feel bad for her. And it sucks because I'm so... Well, I guess it's good for Naomi because I can't see... what's her name winning? Naomi. Or Natalie. Can't see Natty winning. Too many N's here.
Definitely. Kent, how about you? What are your thoughts?
Well... When a feud has been built up as great as this one has, giving us storylines each and every week, compelling things, pushing forward the women's revolution week by week, match by match, it's a wonderful thing. It's great the dedication that WWE is showing towards female athletes around the world, including representing Canada and America and people who like things that glow. It's really a wonderful thing. I can't believe that you would even forget that Natalya, you know, the queen of hearts, really. I mean, she is wrestling royalty. Yeah, she's paid her dues, and she's been absolutely riveting for the past, I don't know, however many years in her role as the boring character that does nothing but, you know, still has a name credibility. She's been great at that. So I hope that she can carry that on as the boring character because, you know, they don't know what to do. Well, they do know what to do with Naomi, but they're saying no. No. We do not need more powerful black women. We need powerful white Canadian women at the top now. It's got to be universal. So, yes, very happy with everything. Great build up.
You know, Ken, people are going to be really confused when they hear read your blog and listen to the podcast and see two completely different people.
I don't understand what you're saying. Everything that I wrote in the blog was just amazing.
It really,
really
was. You really put WWE in a positive light.
Yes, I'm pretty sure I did. I used a lot of articulate four-letter words.
Yes, you did.
That you did. All right, guys. It's time for our picks. And also, I want to hear whether or not you guys think there's going to be a cash-in. Kent, you're up. Pick, and is there going to be a cash-in?
Naomi wins, and no cash in. I think it's going to be teased, but now with there only being one briefcase holder, I which was a smart decision after all. Let's face it. It was really smart. I think they're going to want to hold on to that for a little bit longer, plus Ellsworth with her. Like, she has two great accessories, so just Naomi for the win and a tease.
This week's been teasers, hasn't it, Kent?
Yeah. Just throw it out there.
All right. I'm going to say Naomi wins, retains, and Kent's right, a tease, but not actually going to happen.
I'm going to say Natalia wins, and we get a cash-in. And with that...
Well, question. Would that lead to a Natalia face turn? Like, are we going to get a shake-up if that... Like, if that were to happen under your scenario, is that enough to kind of shake up the division a little bit? Because, you know...
Well, if you think about it, the women's division on SmackDown is kind of heel-heavy. You got two faces and everybody else is a heel, isn't it? Isn't that how it's made?
First of all, Tamina's Samoan, so she's not that heavy. Second of all, you have Becky, Charlotte, and Naomi on the face side. Lana, who's a tremendous wrestler. Tamina, Natalia,
I was going to say,
Ellsworth,
and Carrie Carmella. Was already stopping thinking that about Naomi. That's the problem. She's invisible in the WWE. She is a...
How can you be invisible when
exactly.
You
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to think. She is fantastic, and we always forget about her. Even now that she's champion.
She's good in ring, but as I said this week in the blog, I think she lacks charisma, and that's why
no!
we just don't see it. I don't see it.
I think it's WWE's fault. It's definitely not her. She's got charisma.
Wait a second. Now, Russ, in light of all your positively glowing things that you have to say about Naomi, you know, I thought she did a bang-up job on commentary. She is very interesting and kept me enthralled. I did not hit
the
fast forward button
one time.
She's
not the best talker. All right, I'll give you that. But you didn't hit the...
What? No, I'm saying she's great, Russ. Why? Are you switching gears here?
No, I'm just saying...
Come on now.
She is charismatic when she's being herself. When she's on commentary and having to kind of toe the line a little bit, it's hard for her to do those things.
Yeah, because Bliss has that problem every week.
Bliss is a tier above everybody. I mean...
She don't cry that much.
She's God tier. Every rest of us are. Wrong tier, Kent. Wrong tier.
She is OP.
All right. Let's move on, guys. And let's talk the U.S. title match. The build up for that. We had a segment this week with Shane and AJ and KO where... Kevin Owens took a shot at Shane, apparently. There was a Pele kick and an apology involved. Again, guys, catch me up. It's been 2 weeks. I have no idea what's going on. Russ, update me.
Okay, well, so after the debacle of Battleground, it was Battleground, right? I keep forgetting what the last pay-per-view's name was. Battleground.
Yes, it was a great pay-per-view.
It certainly was.
Great.
Great. After the debacle of Battleground... WWE did one thing I thought was really good. They turned a mistake into a positive with these guys. So you know what happened to Battleground, right?
Okay. Yes, and I also know that AJ got the belt back.
The next night, yeah. Right, because you're the one who watched that for us. I only saw that match for a little bit. So after that, KO was still mad. He got his title return. He got his title chance again. The ref got bumped again during the match, and this time KO got screwed. So now they're interlocking all of the pieces of the screw job, or of the screw up on Battleground. Now they connected it and makes it sound, oh, okay, maybe this was supposed to happen. It wasn't. Anyway, afterwards, KO complained and he talked that he wanted a good ref. Well, the only good ref that can take a bump is Shane McMahon. Because you know how refs and pinstripes, they just fall apart after they get sneezed on improperly. But Shane McMahon, he can take a punch. So after all that, KO intelligently brought up the fact that, oh, because Shane's a face, AJ's a face, all is forgiven. So KO brought up, no, AJ just a couple weeks ago bashed your head through a fucking window. So it brought up a lot of good things. It kind of made Shane more neutral than before, where everybody thought he was just going to, like, yeah, he's going to go for AJ. So it's giving us a nice twist, I'm hoping, because I think either he's going to align himself with KO, which would be awesome, or he's going to start a feud with KO. Either way, the buildup for this whole thing has been really good, honestly. It turned a real negative to a positive.
Awesome, yeah. I wish I actually saw this. Kent, what are your thoughts on what's going on with KO, AJ, and I guess we'll just loop Shane in there too.
Well, what I find utterly interesting and insatiable, quite frankly, is the color scheme going on here. You have the paleness of KO's shoulders, with then a little bit more darkness where his t-shirt would finally tan him. Then you got AJ's Southern Boy tan, and then you got Shane McMahon, who is darker than The Rock. It really stands out. It's a fascinating thing to watch. That's really what I'm looking forward to.
He does look like a bronze god,
And the thing is, I was wondering if it was spray-on that I remembered he was just on vacation, so it's probably
I thought it was spray-on at first, goodness. But you're right. I didn't...
Yeah, he was just out surfing not too long ago, so I think it's legit. It looks really good. I mean,
not fake.
White
at
guys
all.
Should definitely look mahogany. Yes. Definitely white people are meant to look mahogany. Good luck for you, Shane. Storyline wise, completely necessary. Everything that's happening, very necessary. There's nothing convoluted about it. I'm really glad they brought Jericho back for one night. I liked that they ripped the hope and dreams out of us that we might get, you know, a pay-per-view with Jericho. That was cool. Very cool. There was no stupid idiots involved in the booking of that. And I still don't think it was a mistake when AJ, you know, laid down on the mat for like 13 seconds and then no-sold as soon as he was pinned. I think this has been one of the best-told, concise storylines. I mean, this has only been going on since, what, May? I mean, guys, give it a little air to breathe here. We need a few more months of this feud. It's just heating up.
Interesting thing about the Jericho thing. So on a podcast, apparently he was there to do a talk with Jericho with a couple of guests. And they WWE talked him into doing the match for them.
Wasn't it with Breezango? They did the podcast?
Yes, yes. Because he was going to shoot... Oh, because he was there to shoot Southern...
Canadians Don't Carry Guns.
Movie. The films. Yes, yes. he was there to shoot Southern Wrestling, Southpaw Wrestling. And then they were like, hey, you know what? We could use your help. Want to get into a match? And he's like, yeah, sure. There you go. So that's why he did it. Or he would have never been there. So is that really WWE's fault? I know you're super positive about it.
Who's
positive? I know. You're not.
I thought it was a great idea, Russ. Why are you so down on WWE all the time?
Sorry, it's my nature.
Shame.
Shame.
All right, let's go ahead, do our quick picks.
I'm sorry, I had to ask Kent this one. All right, I know it's super positive mode, so you got to tell me this, be honest, okay? So tell me, with AJ and Shane, they have had such terrible matches, and they're two of our favorite guys. How good is this match going to be at SummerSlam?
So you want Shane and not KO?
I meant KO, I'm sorry. KO and AJ.
Oh, okay.
Terrible, sorry. Yeah, have had terrible.
What was your question?
KO and AJ have had terrible in-ring chemistry. They're two of our favorite guys, and the matches have been mediocre at best. How great is this match going to be at SummerSlam?
Match of the year. There you go. That's going to be the match of the year. I have zero doubt in my mind by next Wednesday when we're talking about it. That's going to be the first thing we talk about is how great.
You know what's sad though? It could possibly be. I mean. There haven't been great matches.
Why is that sad? We've had like two matches of the year games so far.
And we're...
we could use a couple more. It'd be nice. We're not...
I know. So we're almost done here.
All right, guys. What are your picks? Kent.
Tough one.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I mean, it seems like they're going with KO versus Shane, so we'll keep it on AJ to give us some better matches against somebody. I don't know. There's got to be somebody that needs a rub.
Russ?
Someone, yep. Jeez. This is going to be a tough one, and I kind of really want Shane to turn evil and go with KO, but I think they're going the way Kent thinks, so yeah, I think AJ's going to win this one with a pretty bad call by Shane.
All right.
Or maybe Shane getting a little bit into fisticuffs there with KO, and then he goes 1, 2, 3, and walks out.
Sounds about right. So I also have AJ winning, well, retaining, actually. And let's move on to the WWE title match. We got Shinsuke Nakamura versus Jinder Mahal. That was an awkward opening segment last night. That's the only thing I can say about that opening segment. Kent, what were your thoughts?
Oh, we're going to talk about that. Okay. Well, I thought it was really cool on all the American fans. It was really cool of us to boo another nation that's never done anything wrong to us. Really awesome. I'm really happy and proud to be an American when I see crowds act like this. It puts a little tinge in my heart a little bit. And it's not even the cholesterol speaking. I mean, it just really touches you right where you pee sometimes. And I really liked the dancing. I was totally into it. And I mean, maybe Jinder's not the greatest in the ring, but, you know, if they can keep giving us cool dances with the Singh brothers and stuff, you know, I'm on board. I am 100% on board. And, you know, shame on American fans for being anti-India. Like, we had no problem stealing their land, you know, a few hundred years ago. Now, all of a sudden, you know...
Kent, wrong India.
Yes,
Kent,
I know. No! Prove it. Yeah, you got nothing. No proof.
You're right. I don't.
Right, Indians.
Russ, what's your thoughts?
Never have I seen a title match get less play than everything else on the card. There has been no interaction between these two except for what happened last night. And I'll be honest with you, I completely forgot it happened until you two mentioned it. So I don't know how this is possible. They're making Jinder to be the worst champion ever. And it seems like they're doing it on purpose. And it's really bad for Jinder. I feel bad for him. I hope the match will deliver, but other than wanting Shinsuke to have this match because I like Shinsuke, I have no reason to be involved in this.
But Russ, One thing to take away from this. This is okay. A really good thing
all
to
right,
think about.
Give me the positive.
There was once a three-man band. With the super talented Drew McIntyre and the incredibly talented Heath Slater, and yet Jinder Mahal is our world champion. I want you to think about that with a smile. Think about how smart that was, because Heath Slater, he's never had momentum since day one.
Never.
Drew McIntyre, he's still down in NXT, honing his craft like a champion. I'm so excited.
Wouldn't you rather be down in NXT, though?
I'd rather be in China right now.
And he's not talking about the country.
Oh, boy. All right. I think we've pretty much talked about this dead horse as much as we can. Or is it beat a dead horse?
We barely mentioned Paige.
Are we going to talk about... Yeah, she's so great and smart and wise to stick with Alberto. I mean, I know you guys sit here week in, week out, and you criticize this poor girl. She was falsely recorded doing vile sexual activities with two men, and she didn't know about it. And then she gets with a charming export from Mexico, one of the all-time greats, a man who snapped John Cena's U.S. title run, okay? And we sit here and we berate her, and it's not fair, okay? This girl makes really good life choices, and so does he. He said, screw it, I would rather have an argument in an airport than to hold on to my championship, and I support that, okay? That is 100% supportable. There will be no more dead horse beating. No more. No. We will not be entertained by this. No longer. We will champion them as the greatest wrestling couple of all time. But speaking of couples, can we talk about Breezango and how suddenly they're not going to have any more vignettes?
I was hoping to avoid that because I'm very sad about it. Only thing I kept up with the past 2 weeks was I watched my Fashion Peaks. I made sure I watched it.
Okay, I don't think it's the end of the vignettes. I just think it's the end of Fashion Peaks. We'll go back to, like, the Fashion Files or, you know how they did, like, the different genres each time? I just think they're done with Fashion Peaks. That's it. I think we'll still get the vignettes.
Will the Ascension be done? I think that Connor is still hungry. He's still working out on his body. He is beefing up. He is looking dead.
He is.
Let's face it.
Did anybody else notice the pie?
Yeah, wait, I'm sorry. I got to be negative for 1 second, and I apologize, but it's not fair for the commentary team to keep telling us how great Jinder Mahal's diet is, his training regimen, and then not say a damn thing about Connor and his great training regimen and his great diet. It's not fair, and I don't fully support WWE in that endeavor. It's not fair.
That's
sorry.
True. Did anybody else notice the pie? The hair pie? That is such a throwback to their old The Rock. It was so funny. But no, I don't think the vignettes are done. I just think Fashion Peaks is done. We're going to do something else to the next pay-per-view.
I hope so, because that really... It got me through my paper and my final. That's the only thing I paid attention to. That and what Connor was eating.
Yes.
I needed to know what he was eating each week.
That should be part of each Fashion Files. What is Connor
Absolutely.
Eating this week?
Absolutely. I mean, he ate an entire pie. That was
He
fantastic.
Ate a log with syrup on it.
I was getting there. All right. Let's close this out. Who's our picks for the WWE title match? I got Shinsuke. Russ, who you got?
I'm going with Jinder. I know it backtracks everything I just said about Corbin, but it doesn't have to happen at SummerSlam. Jinder.
Kent?
They may take our lives, but they may never hinder Jinder. Jinder Mahal. All the way.
Fair enough. So there you go, everyone. There are our picks for the SmackDown half of the card for SummerSlam. Let's take a quick news break and discuss the big wrestling story of the week. And first, I just want to express our get well wishes from all three of us to Ric Flair. I hope he gets well soon. For those of you who have been living under a rock, or what have you, or just haven't been paying attention to the internet, Ric Flair was hospitalized over the weekend for what originally was apparently routine monitoring. Moved to the ICU, had surgery on Monday, was put into a medically induced coma for said surgery. He's was apparently out of surgery right before Raw, and he is now resting comfortably, still in critical condition in the ICU. And also, based on an article I just read on WrestlingInc.com, he is scheduled for another surgery sometime within the next week or two. So he's not out of the woods yet, but again, as I said, the three of us wish him the best and to get well soon. Any comments from you guys?
I have to issue an apology here, because last week, and apparently the wrestling gods were listening, I said, please, do anything to get Charlotte off my TV screen. You don't have to injure her or anything, but just get her off the screen. And boy, did they manage to make that happen.
The wrestling
happen.
Gods can
so
be cruel.
So, my apologies. Yes. I apologize, Rick. I guess bring Charlotte back because her matches are so good. So, get well, Rick.
Yeah, we don't want to lose her for a month, do we?
No. I want her on Raw and SmackDown weekly. Yes. Woo.
Now, Carrie, you said something earlier about living under the rock. He's big. But how are people going to live underneath him?
I have no idea. It's a new role that he has yet to take over. I mean, he does everything else. He might as well do that, too. Have people living under him.
Oh, my God. That's a movie.
Fast and the Furious, Part 47, Living Under the Rock.
Oh, my God. That's a movie. Think about that. Living Under the Rock.
All right. So, let's get to something happier, and let's talk man crushes. Russ, what is your man crush of the week?
Okay, so my man crush of the week. Well, Kent is going to love this. I know he is, because he's super positive. So I definitely think I should break it out this week. My crush is two people this week. That's right, two people. And those two people are the bros, Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose. Why are they my man crush of the week? Because, man, their bromance just was all over my screen. It was magical. Just popped out. They, you know, they would keep on putting their fist out. The other one wouldn't. And the other one did. It was just like, come on, already. Touch fists. Let's get that bromance. And they did. And it was powerful. And it touched me right here. Kat, I know you loved the bromance. Yes, that song should be, they should be doing that on Sunday at SummerSlam. That song with them going like this, finally.
I have nothing to add. I mean, that, it was a thing of beauty. I had to grab a few pictures.
Absolutely.
During that montage,
No, in all seriousness, no. Okay, well, yeah. No, that's my man crush of the week, by the way.
Well, let's talk about that segment, shall we? In our segment that we like to call, Were You or Were You Not Kentertained? Let's talk about that opening segment of Raw, shall we, with those two? I actually missed it, guys. I was catching up on my Game of Thrones, so I'm leaning on you guys to enlighten me on how entertaining or non-entertaining this was. Russ, you picked
I think
you
should start with
crush.
Kent. No, I think you should start with Kent. I'll
All right, let's start with Kent then. Kent, were you entertained?
Yeah, I mean, Game of Thrones was awesome this week. Gendry came back. And just to do a little cross-promotion, also at 9deuce.com, or if you subscribe to Are You Not Kentertained on iTunes, tomorrow you'll be able to hear me mock Chris Theophilus for not believing in the return of Gendry. No, ladies and gentlemen, he stopped growing a while ago, and he's been working on blacksmithing and working his hammer. And damn it, he's good with a hammer. And Tormund asking about the big woman. Yes, everything there was just there were so many great one-liners in this particular episode. And Davos owned a good chunk of them. Like, when he's like, nope, everybody just ignore the guy that survived, 60-some years. You guys know what you're doing, type thing. There's so many good things. So, yeah, I was very entertained by this week's Game of Thrones.
As was I. It was great. It was a great episode. I love the interaction with Jon and the dragon, and the fact that if you looked at Dany, she basically went sploosh when that happened. But outside of
which
that,
which is kind
of
gross.
Yeah, it is. But still, she was like, wait a minute.
So Game of Thrones definitely entertained. And how was anybody not super angry at Sam this week? We finally got...
For what?
Oh, jeez. The whole time that scene was going on, I'm like, Sam, shut up. Gilly's saying something important.
Gilly said the most important thing to the entire show, probably, about Jon.
Yes.
He's not a bastard.
No, he's a legit...
He's legit. If he's older than... No, Daenerys is older than him, I think.
Yes.
Once again, we may be having a little bit of red wedding-itis where we make a bigger deal out of something that's really a common, well-known quantity here that's really not nearly as exhilarating as everybody else wants to make it. But hey, I mean, good for you guys. That's
I
really
think
happy.
It's important. I think one of the most important things.
I think the Grand Maester taking 15,378 shits was more impressive.
That was more important.
Yeah.
All right, we'll see. We'll see, obviously.
I mean, steps.
Yes, steps. I am glad Sam's out of there, though, finally. Jeez, about time.
All right, let's get back to wrestling, guys. But, yes, Game of Thrones.
Yay, wrestling.
Kent or Dane.
Cooler than Game of Thrones.
So, Russ, were you entertained by the bro-off?
Okay, honestly, yes. They kept it short. It was very predictable. I'm going to go with that right now. It was super predictable. But I thought they did a really good job with it. The back and forth was a little bit different than normal. I liked it, but there's no way those two should be winning at SummerSlam. And so they are. But Cesaro, they got so much time in this feud.
And that was a good segue into the discussion on the match. Let's talk about this feud and the build to it and the match itself, our expectations. Kent, what do you got for me?
Well, to look at the sunny side, now that she's out of the hospital, I would say that it really felt complete. When Kurt Angle came out, it really, I don't know why, but Kurt Angle coming out actually made this seem bigger than it had been treated this whole time. I mean, yes, I get it. The love montage at the beginning was fantastic, and it just touched me in a place that I like to be touched. And it was very good. Do I think Cesaro's gotten the short end of the shaft? No, because Cesaro got to have one of the best TV matches that we've seen in the whole year, quite frankly, last week. And Sheamus put on two back-to-back weeks of solid matches. Are they getting treated like the superstars that some of us may want? No. But are they getting consistent airtime? Yes. Are they pounding each other? I mean, their fists. Are they pounding each other's fists? No, they are not. And no, they are not waiting for a moist-haired gentleman who's maybe Simone to join in their three-way pounding. But you know...
They are the bar.
Same but. I mean, I can't keep saying but and pounding at the same time. It's weird. But still, yes, their bar has extended beyond yes. belief, and I am super excited about this.
Russ, Carrie? What are your thoughts?
Well, I pretty much said them all at... in my Kentertain segment. So the whole thing has been done pretty well. I mean, Kent's right.
Do you really believe that, Russ? I mean, I'm just asking as happily as possible. I mean, do you really believe that all these weeks of will they touch each other or not?
No.
I mean, you're telling me that you think that was really well done, right?
It was...
Because I do. I thought it was nice to the anticipation of them touching.
I'll say it was well done in the matches that they had. Cesaro and Dean was fantastic. The week before that was Sheamus and Rollins was really good. And Monday's build-up was good. I thought it was... Or the Monday's, you know, will they, won't they touch bump fists was decent. And Kent was actually right. I thought Kurt Angle coming out kind of finally making the match made it feel, okay, finally good, all right. But overall, no, no. Story-wise, this is... Who cares? And I don't think Cesaro should be losing anytime soon. Especially not to two guys who just got back together.
So that's your pick?
I'm picking... No, no. I guarantee you Seth and Dean are winning.
I agree with you. Kent, who you got?
With a little bump and grind. Yeah!
That's going to be their new song.
Oh, my God. Doo-doo. Pump and grind. Doo-doo. Yeah, I'm so excited. Match? I mean, no, screw it. Cesaro. Cesaro's going to maintain their belts. They're going but the best of butt friends, they'll win by count out or okay. DQ. We'll go DQ to extend this feud because, darn it, we need more of this.
Fair enough. Speaking of things...
Because there's no other tag teams out there.
That's true. Speaking of things that we need more of, let's talk about Finn Balor versus Bray Wyatt. We actually got this match, didn't we, on Raw, guys? Yeah. All right.
That's the best way to market it.
Geniuses. Marketing geniuses.
Fair enough. Russ, what are your thoughts on this? The build for this match?
Okay, I have two schools of thought, but my first school of thought I'll bring up at a later match, which will tie this one in. Why this match happened on Monday instead of waiting till SummerSlam, but that'll come on later. The second school of thought, though, I'm bringing up now, and this was just a way to blow their load on this feud to get the demon out at SummerSlam, and it was really fucking stupid. I know Kent's got super positive about this, and he's going to be really excited to be happy to tell us why I'm wrong, but it was stupid. Okay, so Bray gets a clean win on Finn. Clean. So Bray is greater than Finn, but now the demon will come out on Sunday because of the... I love how there was news on the goo that Bray used. It was some acidic goo. And I'm just like, okay, if it was acidic, he'd be screaming and running in pain. Good job, WWE. It's just a cheap way for them to bring out... the demon now. They're blowing the load on this. Instead of bringing the demon out later on, you know, give us a little back and forth between Bray and Finn, now it's just going to be, ooh, the demon, he's here at SummerSlam. Exciting.
Yay, Demon Finn. I'm excited.
Yeah, but it's they could have brought it out at Hell in the Cell or something.
Yeah, I'm not very excited. I was very sarcastic there.
Oh, well, because I know how much you love Finn, so it's kind of tough.
Yeah, but if you read the blog, I've broken up with Finn.
Not only until he gets exciting again, then you'll be back with him.
Yeah, yeah. I'm fickle like that. Kent, how about you?
I'm really confused. This is the first I've heard about some demon. I thought we were getting Bray Wyatt versus Hellboy. That's what I saw. Right?
It was so stupid.
Right? Like, I mean...
Bray Wyatt has a match with Ron Perlman? That's awesome!
That's what I thought was happening, so I'm confused. He just beat Finn, so why would he face Finn again?
Exactly,
he
right?
faced Hellboy. I mean, at the very least, could they have not brought back Gangrel to have assisted in this acidic red goopy paint. I mean, Bloodbath. I have lots of questions. I'm very excited for the return of Ron Perlman to my TV screen. He's lost some weight. He has some.
He looks like he's a little bit younger too. He's good. He's, you know, he reduced
my
age.
My God, yeah, that man.
And has got an Irish accent.
Yes.
Well, he learned that on season 3 of Sons of Anarchy that took place in Ireland. Fun fact.
Really, yeah.
And that. I believe that's how him and Finn first met, and then Finn got him the gig at WWE. So this is all tying together. Good on WWE for giving us the clean win and now giving us a brand new match in 6 days. So I really am looking forward to this. Thankfully, it appears that Bray no longer has superpowers since Undertaker retired. Nobody has superpowers, just red paint.
Great. The way he got the red paint, it, man, I really want to talk about this. There were two instances that WWE really screwed up with consistency. And I don't want to talk about it yet, but you know what I'm going to be talking about?
The consistency of the paint?
Well, the paint and Big Show being eviscerated by Cass and GNA.
No, Viscera is dead.
Oh, shoot, really? Oh, whoops. I meant killed then. He was getting his hand destroyed. That, and then the brawl at the end.
This has gotten really dark.
Very inconsistent. We'll talk about that later. I don't want to ruin it, so.
But can we talk about how rusted that paint bucket was?
Yeah.
I would think that Bray, with all that insurance money, after Randy burned down his house, would have been able to get a nicer bucket.
Right.
I'm very confused by this.
And I like how nobody stopped him at all. Not a ref. Nothing.
Stop him from what? Painting a guy?
Wouldn't that... Well, once I learned it was acidic.
And I don't think Finn was on LSD or anything, though.
Not him.
Was he tripping balls backstage
the
or something? How do we know it
was
acid? I'm so confused right now. Ron Perlman, LSD...
Yep. And that's how confused
WWE.
I am by this... that's how confused I am about this...
I was confused by this as I am by the choice of music for SummerSlam, because like a ballad song for SummerSlam, a really good marketing choice, because when you think wrestling, you think really light R&B.
Marketing is genius. Kelly.
Yeah, I agree. Go Hellboy.
All right, so things that will not confuse us are our picks. I'm going to go with Demon Balor. Kent, who you got?
Hellboy.
Russ?
Ron Perlman for the win.
Fair enough. All right, let's move over to another feud that we don't care about. Let's talk about Big Cass versus Big Show.
Whoa, who said we didn't care about this? Kent, I am sure he really loves this feud. Kent, how much do you love this feud?
Yes, enlighten us, Kent.
Well, it harkens back to my childhood memories. The days when giants roamed. Like in Game of Thrones. But they've been extinct for a while. But now we're getting this great feud. We have this roster stacked with capable wrestlers that could give us a great match. But instead, they said, no, we want you to remember that giants still exist. And they can wrestle. And they can talk. And Big Cass, in all fairness, cut a decent promo. And you can't teach that. I truly do believe he cut a good promo. I'm not bullshitting you. I think that was a decent effort by Cass. Why Gallows and Anderson are apparently working for him because they've been around longer and should be on a better contract than him. So I don't know what the need for money is. Hopefully we find out that maybe Anderson's hot Asian wife maybe divorced him or something like that. So he needs the money and that's what they're doing. Gosh, I this whole thing's been great, and the best part is when all is said and done and Enzo drops a weapon to Big Cass and then they reunite as heels, the past 2 months is going to be so worthwhile. It will not have been a waste of time at all for any of us. It will have been a great way to get 40 some odd year Big Show back to the forefront. Ah, so good. My hat's off to you, WWE. You're brilliant.
Man, I'm so glad we got that in from you.
All right, Russ. What are your thoughts?
All right. at least this week wasn't horrible. But again, WWE and their inconsistencies make no sense. You got a guy who's about to get his arm, and clearly everybody knows they're going to slam the door on his hand, but nobody comes out until after it's already done. So, yeah, that's real smart.
Weren't the Hardy Boys feuding with Gallows and Anderson?
What, Kent? No. No, it never happened.
Furthermore, one other question. Why didn't they hold a Shark Tank match during Shark Week?
Right?
Think about the cross-promotion,
people.
Yeah,
they didn't, clearly.
They're marketing geniuses.
They failed that one.
Get in contact.
They dropped
the ball. Yeah, yeah.
But, okay.
I mean, lest we forget, RVD was in Three-Headed Shark Attack. Tying wrestling and sharks together yet again.
That's true. My goodness, there's a lot of sharks in wrestling.
Well, Seth Rollins was in Sharknado 4,
I didn't know that.
And Jericho was in Sharknado 3.
Shoot. I guess so.
Yes, the lineage goes
deep.
Far
yes.
away. RoboCop was once locked in a shark cage.
That's true. I knew about that. Yes. That was terrible. but this is going to be a horrible match. I think Kent's right. I definitely see a feud. Or I definitely see Enzo going heel as well. Other than that, though, Cass did good this week. Kudos to him. He gave us one good week out of this whole other stuff, or this whole thing. But the rest of it's been garbage. So, I don't know. What do you guys think of him starting up and stopping and bringing that to his... I'll give him credit for that. He brought it to his advantage, I thought. He really got that crowd going. It was really well done. I'm being honest about this. I thought it was good. That was the one thing. What do you two?
It was all right. It just seemed so choppy, and I was just getting annoyed that the crowd wouldn't let the man speak.
I was at first irritated, but he used it really well.
I have to agree with you there. Once it got going, I mean, I'm still so negative about this whole thing to begin with Cass, but I have to tip my hat off to him. He did, if I wore a hat, he did well. Kent?
So it's a really good sign that it takes two of us on here to actually let the fans know that we're being 100% serious that something was good. That's a sure sign that WWE is doing things really well.
I know. We have to be clear when we're being honest, and I was being honest. I thought he did a really good job with that. And then I thought the whole thing afterwards was a really good job, too. I don't know why Gallows and Anderson joined in. That makes no sense. But whatever. I was fine with what happened.
Maybe.
I mean, is Cass doing the best he can, given the material he's given?
Well, if he gets away from Cass, which I don't think is going to happen now...
I don't think Cass can get away from Cass.
I mean, if he can get away from Enzo, it'd be really, really tough.
Oh, that changes the whole plot of your story.
If Cass can't get rid of Enzo, no, he's not going anywhere. But if he can, he might. He showed something this week. And if he can show something in the match...
What a mysterious answer, Rust. If he can, he might.
Well, I have no answer for it, because it's going to suck either way.
Well, fair enough. Let's go ahead and make our picks. I'm going Big Cass. I think he needs the win. It'd be nice to see him put over by Big Show. Kent, what do you got?
I assume that Cass... Well, they are in Brooklyn. Where is Cass from exactly? Jersey, yeah. Right? Or is that Enzo?
Both of them from Jersey.
So the question is, will he get the hometown beatdown, or will he get the Banks experience of this past week?
I was going to say, Banks didn't get beat down. She won.
Gosh, you know what? I'm going to pick... No. Enzo's going to win.
Enzo?
Yep.
I don't know how that's possible. He's not even in the match, for sure.
Well, he's going to dance around in a shark cage. And two other guys are going to beat the hell out of each other. Who's walking away not hurt?
So Enzo. He's the winner.
Who's the winner? Enzo.
I'm going with Big Cass. If he doesn't win this, what was the point of breaking these two up?
Fair enough. All right. Since we mentioned Sasha Banks winning in her hometown of Boston against Nia Jax this week, let's talk Raw women's title match. We now have Sasha Banks versus Alexa Bliss. First thing I want to know from you guys is, did they right or wrong here? did I see the wrong finish when I was at Raw in DC? Should Sasha have won that match? Russ, what do you think?
Absolutely. This was totally righting a wrong. Bayley's been garbage, and I think I honestly think the injury's still fake. They don't really haven't really elaborated on. They said separated shoulder, I think, right? I don't know what a separated shoulder is. I don't think I've ever heard of that, but whatever. And they didn't give a time period.
In your 37 years, you've never heard of a separated shoulder.
Not like that. Or maybe I was just thinking of it wrong. The way they said it seemed weird. What do I know? I'm not a doctor, all right? But it just, if she comes back almost immediately after, won't it feel like they righted the wrong here? I agree. I think they did. Sasha was definitely the better choice. I think Alexa and Sasha will have good chemistry in the ring.
Me too. I definitely agree. Ken,
where we see Bayley was garbage with Alexa.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen it. We've been there, done that. It's, yeah, this, although I hate to see Sasha in the title picture, I think other people deserve a chance. It's going to be a better story in the long run. And I have a feeling that this is going to be the first of many matches with these two. How about you, Kent? What do you think?
Hashtag give Emma a chance. Yeah. I mean, it's great that both Baron Corbin and Emma jobbed this week. Really happy to see my favorites. Oh, it was nice to not see Bliss in a match. Really good. Really happy that we were in Texas this freaking week. That was fantastic. Because God only knows if there's one city I truly admire and love, it's Boston.
Kent loves Boston.
Great town.
Kent, how many times have you told me how much you love Boston?
OMG, Russ. I cannot count the number of times I have told you, Russ, we should just go down to Boston.
I know. And
you know, we will have the time of our lives, and we owe it to ourselves to do
that. We should.
Yeah. Was it writing a wrong? Yeah, no. No. I would rather just... If we're going to be honest for a moment here, wouldn't it make more sense for Sasha and Nia to have done like a double pin? Because we don't have any storyline. There's no storyline. We just know that there's a winner. So if you don't have a storyline, it makes...
more sense to have a double, to have a triple threat match.
Yeah, but, I mean, far be it from me to question the geniuses writing backstage. They know wrestling way more than I do. They are geniuses. I bow down to their wit and knowledge. And really good. Really, really good to see Emma jobbing to Mickie James, who looked great out there, by the way.
I thought that was a really good match.
I would rather, honestly, Mickie versus Bliss is a match that I want to see that feud. I don't know if we're going to get it anytime soon, but Mickie looked great out there.
I thought Emma and Mickie looked good.
Maybe it had a lot to do with her opponent, but,
I thought that...
Hashtag give Emma a chance. Yeah.
All right, let's do picks. I pick Alexa. I will always pick Alexa. Kent?
They're in Brooklyn. Sasha Banks.
Ooh. Russ?
Once you go Bliss, you can't miss.
All right. So let's talk about pre-show matches and the Cruiserweight title match we got this week. A title has finally come to the Titus brand. And let's talk Neville versus Tozawa. Kent, what did you think?
Thank God they gave us this match for free on Monday so I could get that first taste. You know, like when the drug pusher gives you your first taste so you get hooked. That's what they did. They gave us our first taste of what a match like that could be. And did it deliver? Yes. Yes, it did. That was one of the best matches. Probably the best match of the night,
definitely
quite frankly.
Definitely best of the night.
Really good. I'm really happy that they're going to be on the pre-show so they can get some commercial breaks so we can miss some of their match because I don't want to be overwhelmed by their greatness. I need a breather from time to time, so thank you, Network, for interrupting. That'll be awesome. And once again, kudos on giving me a match 6 days before the match I'm paying for. That fucking amazing. So thank you, WWE. Also, really happy for Titus Brand. I really enjoyed how Apollo just lifted him up like he was nothing onto Titus's shoulders. I liked that part. I mean, I liked everything.
How about you, Russ?
Okay. I know Kent was super positive about this, but I am also going to say this, but I'm actually being serious when I say this now. I am actually applauding WWE for this one. They gave them time, which they are not getting at SummerSlam. They basically said, yeah, this match and this title should be more important. And almost everybody's going to miss the match if it's a pre-show match. Not everybody, but there's going to be a lot of people who miss it. And there's going to be a lot of people who don't care. Because all those, you know, those commercial breaks in there are going to ruin this friggin' match. So what they do, they gave us the match, which was great. I thought it was one of the best matches. Definitely match of the night. It was exciting. And the title changed hands, which probably was going to happen at SummerSlam, but half the people wouldn't have seen it, and nobody would on Monday, coming back on Monday, when people are talking about it, they'll be like, oh, yeah, okay, he won it. Kind of match. At least on Raw, people saw it, and people at Raw were excited. So maybe that will bring more people to come to the kickoff show, because there's no way this show's getting on the main event. So, but too deserving.
You know, I want to interject with something all right here. It's pretty interesting and neat to think about how smart this has been. Think about the last four title changes on either brand. Three of them have not been on pay-per-view because that's how you sell a pay-per-view. You have the KO and AJ twice, once at MSG, once on SmackDown. You had this one. It's really, really good. The only one that didn't happen, that did actually happen on pay-per-view, was also AJ and KO. Really good stuff.
Which was a botch anyway, so that shouldn't have happened.
WWE doesn't make mistakes for us. They give us Hellboy.
That's true. I understand where you're coming from with it, and normally I agree with you, definitely, but this time, the cruiserweights are treated like crap. Their best match that they can put on a pay-per-view is relegated to the kickoff show. So Tozawa and Neville putting on a pay-per-view match quality on Raw, saying, hey, it's kind of them saying, hey, we should be on the main part of the show instead of just being on the kickoff. So kudos to those guys, honestly. Making a good situation out of crap.
Exactly. Because who actually watches the pre-show? I kind of feel bad for the guys. But at least they had an opportunity to showcase their skills. Hopefully that'll get some more interest on the 205 Live. With that said, picks, guys, I'm going to Zawa retaining because Titus Worldwide needs a title. Kent, who do you got?
I'll go Akira. Although I could really see them immediately pulling the belt from him because that would be marketing brilliance.
And Russ.
I'm going to stick with Akira too. It would be really stupid for him to win it on Monday and then immediately lose it on Sunday. So that's probably what's going to happen. But I'm hoping WWE doesn't make a stupid mistake. So Akira.
All right. Let's move on to the last and final match and probably our last match of the night on Sunday. Let's talk about the build and the match for the WWE Universal title between Roman Reigns, Samoa Joe, Braun Strowman, and Brock Lesnar. So there was a brawl on Monday night. Braun looked strong. That made me happy. What were your thoughts, Russ?
Okay, so I kind of went different on this one. It was really weird. I think WWE did everything they could to make this feud seem underwhelming as possible. Because with Braun and Joe in this thing, and Brock and Roman's always a hard worker. When was the last time Roman really put on a really bad match? honestly. So Roman's a really good worker. Samoa Joe and Braun have just been on fire in the last couple of months. And Brock's Brock. So this match is super, super hyped. And people are going, you know, people should be really excited about this match. I'm definitely excited about this match. So it seems like WWE tried to pull a different tack to this and make people seem unimportant in each week. Each one of them has seemed unimportant since the beginning of this, since Battleground. Or even before Battleground, jeez. Let me tell you how I mean by that. The first week was that triple threat match, which was fantastic. Who was left out of the triple threat match? He's Braun. The Universal Champion. No.
Oh.
Paul Heyman.
Paul Heyman's guy, Brock Lesnar. He was left out of that match. So we got a fantastic match out of those three. And Brock was left out of it, making him look a little bit unimportant compared to the rest. So to make up for all of that, this is what they did the next following couple of weeks. They had Roman versus Braun in the Last Man Standing match, which was looking great, but then Joe comes out, attacks Roman, knocks him out, and he doesn't even bother with Braun, making Braun look unimportant, because why would Joe only attack Roman and leave Braun alone? Makes no sense. So now Braun looks unimportant. And finally, this week, and we got to talk about this a little bit more in detail, but Braun and Brock looked at each other funny, and they started to brawl with each other, which had a locker-clearing group come out to stop only those two, where Joe and Roman were doing nothing. I had no idea what even happened to them, making them look unimportant. So all four of the guys have looked unimportant in this evenly almost. So I just thought that was interesting. Seems like they're trying to make us like, no, they're all unimportant. This is, don't get so excited about this. Calm down. But I do love WWE logic. Two guys looked at each other funny. The locker comes out, tries to separate them, keep them separate. Cass breaks Big Show's hand on a metal shark cage. Nobody bats an eye. Bray tosses acidic goo on Finn. Nobody runs out to see if he's okay. But these two look funny at each other, and the locker is out there. Locker room is out there. Good consistency, WWE. Good consistency.
Kent, what are your thoughts?
Well, now I kind of feel bad that the locker room doesn't come out to help replace Sasha's
exactly
hair. I mean, we have travesties going on, and nobody's helping that poor girl. Huh. Darn you, WWE. Well, I mean, this had me really happy because I was sitting there thinking, man, three matches on Raw that I'm going to see? Oh, no. Instead, we got this loving stare down. Joe was being held back by Gallows and Anderson, the same guys that helped break Big Show's arm. I don't even know where Roman was, and I got sitting there thinking, my gosh, am I ever excited? I'm excited right now, and I'm only excited at half the possibilities. I wasn't even excited for Roman and Joe. I had forgotten they existed, so think about how exciting and great it was, and it was nice to not see Brock Lesnar throwing around the Miztourage, and it's really great that Miz is the Intercontinental Champion and doesn't have a match or a feud, and yeah. But to, you know, finish this off, you know what? I'm putting Paul Heyman as number one manager on the mic, officially. I'm putting him over Bobby the Brain Heenan as far as on the mic. And a managerial role. Not overall, but in a managerial role. Nobody does it like Paul. I know the same tired shtick that man is going to give us every time. Do I get pumped for it somehow? Yes. I don't know why. I can't help it. He is a great hype man. Maybe there's some brothers out there that could use him to help hype them up. Because right now, they ain't hype.
They disappear.
Gosh. Well, at least Connor's
yes.
Doing well.
This is true. All right, guys. Picks time. I'm going with Braun Strowman. Kent?
Brock, no doubt.
Russ.
100% Brock. There's not even a chance.
All right.
So, Carrie, you want to keep your pick now that you know that you got 200% against your what?
I don't care. I'm going with Braun Strowman.
You go, girl.
I will. And before we move on to, Braun's namesake segment on this show, let's talk The Miz. How is there not an Intercontinental title match in this pay-per-view announced? Why isn't there anything?
Ken?
No, Russ, go ahead. Enlighten us with your theory.
I was just going to say, you want the short and dirty of it. It's because Jason Jordan sucks, and he's not ready for a pay-per-view match at SummerSlam.
Russ, are you not hearing the crowd reaction that man generates each and every night he comes
out there?
You
mean the crickets?
That man is future superstar. Think about it. He gets similar reaction to Roman Reigns. I mean, a little less, but I mean, he is on the cusp of greatness with that crowd reaction and that great music. Oh my gosh, I cannot get that song, that great instrumental lazy beat. I mean, great beat.
Yes.
It is so
good. I know it's tough, but he's just not ready for a pay-per-view.
Yeah. Miz has had zero impact on anything since arriving to Raw. He needs to go back.
Yes.
There's been other people that I said, they need a change of scenery. I don't think any man needs a change of scenery more than Miz,
sad because it's been, 2 months? Not even?
Which is sad because Bray was the obvious answer, but now it's like, at least Bray gets acidic goo. Yeah. I mean, when's the last time Miz had acidic goo?
Never. As far as I know.
Quarter past never, as far as I know.
All right, everyone. There's our picks. There's our review for the week. You are updated, and if you agree with our picks, cool. If you don't, that's cool, too.
We don't care.
Yeah, we really don't care. Anyway.
I care.
Oh, that's right. Kent does.
Everybody's opinion matters. Everybody's life matter. Even the Indians. Even the Indians.
So, Kent, what are you looking forward to next week?
What a handsome question that is, too. I'm looking forward to all 5 hours and, 7 minutes of next week's wrestling. I look forward to the advertisements. I look forward to sitting there watching it live. Yes. Yes, I do.
Nice.
Very excited.
Nice.
In particular, though, I am very excited for Asuka's debut.
Yeah, that's happening. That is definitely happening. Especially by the way, listeners, it's time for the I'm not finished with you yet segment. Russ, what are you not finished with yet?
I'm going to say Barrett and Cena. I definitely want to see how that's going to be finished, how that's going to come out. Because it's going to it's either going to be happening really badly where Corbin loses to Cena at SummerSlam and the burial is complete and Corbin is garbage. Or Corbin gets the win on Cena, gets the rub, and accelerates. We'll find out. Yay!
And I'm just looking forward to seeing if we're going to get more fashion anything. I really am going to miss those vignettes if we don't have them. I need them, guys. They got me through my last 2 weeks of my semester. I need Fashion Police, Files, X-Files, Vice. Well, Fashion Peaks is over, but still, something to do with Breeze Dango. Dango. Breeze Dango. Sorry. All right, game time.
It's Deputy Dango, Breeze Dango.
Fair enough. All right, game time.
Woo!
Let's do guess the wrestler, or do you guys want to do associations first? Your pick.
Always end on guess.
Yeah, always end on guess the wrestler.
Let's do associations. Russ, what do you got from us?
All right, so I have two things for associations. You're going to have to figure out both of them. Now, again, you guys are going to guess the wrestler after I give you a hint. All right. of what they do. So I'm going to give you a word that is associated with this person, and you've got to tell me who it is. Now, I wasn't sure. Kent, I'm going to need your help on this. What do you think? Should I give you each of you guess? If one of you is right, say it. If not, or you can both guess the same person. Doesn't really matter. Or do you want me to just do one each? So, like, I go to her, then you.
Russ, it is your game. You do it however you determine. I'm fine okay. with that. I'm all very right. happy.
So, how about we do this? I'm going to give the word, and then you both guess. If you think it's the same person, guess the same person, obviously. If you don't, then give me different names. And then we'll go from there. And then you also have to guess the theme of this association. Are you ready?
Ready.
The theme is really easy. All right, first person, and is the word association, legacy.
Ric Flair?
Okay.
Legacy. That would go along with Cody Rhodes, Ted DiBiase, or Randy Orton. Based on Russell's blinks, I think I'm on the right track. We'll say Cody Rhodes.
Kent is right. Cody Rhodes. Here's the rest of the associations. It was Legacy. Next was Dust. And the last one was Screwed by WWE. So if you couldn't tell which Dust it was, Gold or Star, the Screwed by WWE should have nailed that one in for you. Because Gold Dust has not been screwed by WWE yet too much. All right, ready?
Ready.
Yes.
All right. Wristbands.
Cena?
Ultimate Warrior.
Kent is on fire! Ultimate Warrior! Okay, wristbands. Kent's getting good at this association game. Wristbands was his first one. Second was Running Entrance, which still could have been John Cena. But it was mostly Warrior. And the last one was Vigorous Rope Shaking. And Screwed by WWE. All right. Ready?
Yes.
All right. Canadian.
Bret Hart.
Russ knows how sheer I have to say it.
But
he already knows I'm going to just gonna throw this one away. I don't care. Chris Benoit.
No. It is Bret the Hitman Hart. She was correct. Canadian. Second was Screwed. Last one, himself. All right. Final one for the evening. Fucked.
Dolph Ziggler's career.
Damian Sandow.
Okay, neither of you are right. By WWE.
I think hers and my answers were really
they
good.
They were good,
here.
But they're not right.
Oh. Wow. This could be.
Yes, it certainly people. Could be, but you'll know who it is by the next hint.
Undertaker.
Okay.
I'm going to go with that. I have no idea.
Okay, both of you are wrong. Here's the last clue. Last night on SmackDown.
Corbin.
I don't know what you're talking about. It was a very well-run show.
All right, that's the word. Okay, so now, what is all these associations associated to? Come on, it's easy.
They're all dead on the inside?
No, screw jobs.
Yeah.
Each one of these people were screwed by WWE in some content or way, shape, or form.
Yes. I see.
Pretty much. All right, guys. Let's close it out.
Wait, I got three.
Oh,
of them.
Okay. I have not played the worst.
There's no theme, but I just wrote this up while I was paying attention.
Okay.
Clue one, mirror.
Hogan?
Ravishing Rick Rude.
I really like where she was going with that. Really liked what, but no, but I really like it because I get the reference. Barbershop.
Bruce Barber Beefcake.
Yeah.
Wrong and wrong.
Oh.
Yep. Carrie, do you know what my last clue is going to be?
I have a feeling. I feel that you might. I have a feeling I do.
Shawn Michaels.
Marty Jannetty.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yes, all right, all right, that makes sense. Number now. Two. All right, go ahead.
Papa Shango.
The Godfather?
Yeah, that's... Damn. Okay, that's the only thing. I was like, yeah. I'm pretty sure it's Godfather, but...
I had Papa Shango, comma, and then... All right, last one. I Love You.
Maria Canelli? Canellis.
No.
They haven't been on television in like 3 weeks. How the hell do I know?
Mike.
Yeah, rumor has it that after they signed him, it looked like he sat on the couch for like a month. So, yeah, he's getting himself buried. Carrie, you got anything from the I Love You hint?
Well, I'll go with the other half of that. Let's go with Mike Canellis. I mean, Bennett.
Second clue. Killed someone.
Benoit,
yeah, sure. Really? Someone else killed someone?
Daughter?
Killed somebody, I love you. Oh, fudge, I can't remember who it is. I think I remember this, though. I don't know.
Okay.
Trish Stratus. I can't think. I know I'm going to be like...
Got anything, Harry?
I got nothing.
Well, does anybody know what the sign language is for I Love You?
Oh.
Might look better that way. Somebody used to have this as a hand sign that has a daughter currently in WWE and killed somebody and is now dead.
Tamina. Well, Jimmy Snuka.
Yes. There we go, Jimmy Snuka. Yes, a little bit more hard, but at least the guy Benoit mentioned more than
several that. Times.
That's
Kent's theme was get Benoit mentioned.
All right, guys, should we move on to Guess the Wrestler?
I guess.
All right, time for the Guess the Wrestler.
At least this wasn't a 3-hour pay-per-view or podcast.
Each week, one of us picks a wrestler, and the other two have 9 questions and 2 guesses to figure out who that wrestler is. This week, it's my choice to pick a wrestler, and my wrestler is male and a current WWE superstar.
Oh, Russ has
one. Not yet. I do not yet. Jeez. Give me 5 seconds.
What, were you looking at porn?
Not yet.
All these not yets.
All right, do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
I don't know. Carrie's jaw just dropped. I think she's looking at porn now. Jeez. Yeah, I got a question. Has this person ever held any championships in WWE?
No.
Raw or currently Raw or SmackDown or Raw. Cruiserweights. Okay.
Did this person come up through NXT?
No.
Well, Brian Kendrick.
Never held the title. Holy cow.
I mean, that eliminates a lot
really
of people.
It really does. I'm just trying to think who could possibly. I'm trying to like narrow it down now in my head. Were they a part of any clubs we would know about?
Yes.
Okay. Have they been more known as a heel or a face?
Heel.
Okay. Are these do we hear the word nerds come out a lot from this one? This group? No. Oh.
She said no championships.
Oh, they actually did win. That's right. I forgot they won. Sue me.
Fine. Carrie, hire Eric so I can sue Russ.
Wouldn't you have to hire him?
No. She is my spokeswoman. She can do the hiring.
All right, all right. Didn't go through NXT, too. Jeez. Huh.
Yeah, Russ is still looking through that
roster. I am looking through the roster.
Oh, man. I'm not going to look it up. Like, that's one thing I'm not going
to do. I like to know their damn names.
But
okay, go on.
The only thing I can think of was, like, has Curtis Axel ever held a belt?
I don't think so.
Did he hold the IC belt? All right. Is this person currently in a stable or group?
Is not.
Okay, that eliminates a lot more.
Is he someone's child?
No.
Oh, NXT. Damn it. That's right. They went through NXT. God damn it. I'm wasting my guess. Sorry.
Everybody is somebody's child.
Yes. That's true. You were wrong, Carrie. You're wrong.
Yeah. Don't falsify
me. Yeah. So I think I get to answer my ask my question again.
Well, Russ, your question was pretty stupid as well. Did they have a father or a mother?
She knew what the question was. She knew what I was asking.
Shame on everybody involved. All right. All right.
Go ahead.
Is this person wrestling in the 205 division?
No.
Mother?
Well, she did say Raw, not 205.
And father. That was the answer to your
yes.
question. Yes. Mother and father.
Yes. Thank you. Color of their skin?
White.
How many more
we
got?
I think we only got one more question.
Shit. I mean, because I was going to go with hair color, but that may not bring it down enough. But right now, I'm running out of people to even guess.
Right,
that.
I know.
So
Jesus.
This is becoming... She said that they're an active wrestler.
Yep.
Or just active.
Well, it means on the Raw roster. Never held a championship. How many left? How many people are left?
Not a lot.
And that's why I asked color of skin, because that knocks a couple of people off, too.
Yes, yes. We knocked off Braun Strowman.
No, actually. No, wait. He is NXT. Yep. Darren.
I think Kurt Hawkins has held the belt with Zack.
Not to mention, wasn't he in NXT?
He has been down in NXT for a couple matches.
Oh, he was never really...
I would have accepted yes or no on that one, in all fairness. It's not Elias. It's nobody like in the main hunt.
R-Truth, but he's black, so that takes him out. Oh, but he's held titles. Yeah, I can't forget. He has held no titles. Who the fuck is this?
It's not Goldie. It's not Sho. It's not Bray, Finn. Nobody in the main event. It's nobody with a Miztourage. It's not Jason Jordan. It's not Elias. It's not Kurt Hawkins. It's not Gallows and Anderson. It's not Cesaro.
It's not
Revival.
Dean, Seth, or Roman. It's not...
It's not... Brock.
It's not Darren Young. Because...
It's not Titus. It's not Apollo. It's nobody on 205. It's a male.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to go with hair? Do you, hair color is their best bet?
I think so. I don't know what else to go with because I don't know who else could possibly be.
Or do I ask if they are actually a current wrestler? Those are my two things. I'm not sure if hair color is going to help us as much. It could be commentary.
That's true. Go for it. Current wrestler.
Are they a current wrestler?
Yes.
Motherfucker.
I honestly don't know who this could possibly be.
All right, I shall give some hints. One of the questions you asked was this person ever on NXT? Not exactly. never seen on NXT TV. Trained at the Performance Center, but did not appear on NXT. He was part of two clubs. One was part of his debut, and the other he's a little more known for.
Shit. I thought it was going to be Braun Strowman.
Me too. I honestly thought it was Braun Strowman too, and then...
Was there a second club?
Well, I know the Rose Club, right?
The Rose Buds and the Wyatts.
So, yeah, it is Braun. The belt. Well, then all right, Braun Strowman.
You're right.
Her new crush. We should have figured that out from the beginning.
Are you going to make Eric grow a beard like that?
No.
Good.
No, I am not.
He would look awful with it.
Hey, Russ, remember that one time you grew that mustache?
I didn't grow a mustache. It was funny. The full...
It was really bad. It was great.
No, it wasn't. Shut up. I have a weak chin. I have a weak chin. I need something there to cover it.
I have weak chins.
It's true. But if you could grow the hair, I think you would.
All right, guys. Well, there you have it. Another week of Are You Not Entertained has come to a close. Kent, any announcements you want to make before we sign off?
Yeah. Okay,
super positive.
So,
finish it strong, Kent.
There's a lot of things going on here. Tomorrow there should be a House of a Thousand Corpses and Devil's Rejects blog for the horror group, the Game of Thrones blog, and the podcast I did with Chris should be up tomorrow or Friday. Our podcast will be up because you're listening to it now, along with our blog. We will be doing an NXT preview and review. We will be doing a SummerSlam preview and review. So there is so much wonderful, busy work ahead of me. I am so excited. Yeah. Go, Baron.
Well, everyone, check out those as soon as you see them pop up on 9deuce.com. And with that, for Kent, Russ, and myself, we wish you all a good night, and we will talk to you next week.
My cat's breath smells like cat food.
This has been a very pleasant experience for me. I am so happy that I did it.